super excited that I have the opportunity to share the word with you. And man, I promise this has been a word that's been churning in me for so long. And I shared it a little bit on Wednesday night, maybe about, 8 months ago. But the Lord just keeps churning it. And so today I'm going to share. But first of all, I've got to say happy Mother's Day. Are there some mothers in the house? Come on. Are there any daughters in the house? Yeah. How about any sons, people that have mothers? Anybody in here and have a mother, right? How about future mothers, people that want to be moms or maybe they're expecting to be a mom? Any of those people in this room? Well, y'all are quiet. We're in trouble. Y'all, we have to grow this church, people. Y'all need to get busy, okay? Y'all need to get busy. So look, I could tell you Mother's Day jokes, but I decided that real life stories are way better than jokes. So my mother, I'm going to tell you a little bit about my mom. My mom was a rock star. She's in heaven now. She actually passed away 20 years ago, but believe me, she's having a way better time right now than we are. This is the best Mother's Day for her. But I want to tell you, my mother, she loved to play games. Any mothers in the house love to play games? Cards, board games, you name it. Your kids want to play, mother, mom is on call, right? Well, my mom was a little bit different. She loved to play so much. And you know that it can get, this is when I knew it had gotten out of hand. One day my mom, I'm an adult, okay? I'm probably 18, 19. Let's not kid ourselves, 18 or 19. Is that really an adult? Any 18-year-olds in the house? 19-year-old. Y'all are adults, okay? So I'm just saying, I was an adult, at least I thought I was. And my mom said, Jody, come play cards with me. She loved to play cards. And I was like, Mom, I just don't feel like playing cards right now. This is when you know it's out of hand. When your dad looks over and pipes in and says, Jody, go play cards with your mother. She just wants to play cards. Go play. So I was like, okay. So I'm up. I'm playing cards. I'm doing what my mama said. And then, and here's another example of my mom. She had a great sense of humor. And she, Patrick and I were dating. We're actually engaged. And Patrick would drive 2 hours to come and see me at my mom and dad's house. This is a little house, a tiny house. And we were sitting, and he was so nice. Patrick was so nice. He would sit and talk to my parents for a few minutes. For hours, actually, because I couldn't get him to go to bed, right? They just might, you know, you're with your person and you just want your parents to go to bed, right? No one in this house knows what that's like, right? Okay, so my dad goes to bed and then my mom is still sitting there. And then a few minutes later, my mom says, I think I'm going to go get a drink. And I'm like, this is my chance. So I walk in the kitchen with her and I'm like, Mom, I really want to spend a few minutes with Patrick alone. And she said, well, Jody, he's going to be my son-in-law. Don't you think I want to spend a little time with him too? And I was like, mic drop, you know, I was like, okay. So one more story. So my dad was in the military and he would go away on drills. I'm just telling you how great my mom is, but I'm setting you up. Don't worry. So my dad would go on drills. He would be away for the weekend. And my mom, I would sleep with my mom those weekends, you know, because she just needed to touch someone with the bottom of her foot. You know what I'm saying? So I was that person. And then I would kick her foot off of me in the middle of the night. But I realized one night that she was going to protect her family. She had a butcher knife under her pillow. I did not. The day I realized that, I was like, whoa, Mom, you are a warrior. You're going to go to the knife for your family. And I was like, okay, you're the bomb. But then I knew she was a warrior. But then she would teach me how to fight in real life. And one day, once again, my husband, he got a little too much information sometimes when we were engaged. And one day we were engaged. We may have been newlyweds. And my mom and dad were in the room. And y'all, they could get a little fight on right in front of us. Anybody have any households like that? You know, like you can get a little fight on in front of people. And but my mama taught me how to get, she taught the power of getting the last word. Anybody know about that? So in that moment, they would be going at it a little bit. And then my mama got up and she walks out of the room. She goes down the hallway and you think, this thing's over. And then, you know how we do it? She turned around, she walked back down the hall, and she was like, rah, 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 you know? And she taught me how not to fight. Don't do it that way, okay, y'all? But what she really taught me was how to fight in the spirit. So she taught me a lot of stuff. But I want to share with you today how my mama taught me to fight in the spirit and some things that the Lord has taught me over the last 6 or 8 months. And so we're going to read the word together. Are you ready? Will you stand with me? Let's read some scripture. We know how we do this. Obviously, you get it. Today's message is Mighty Warrior. Can you say Mighty Warrior? Amen. Amen. And so read this with me. This is the word of God. We hold it close to our heart. It sharpens us. It builds us. It grows us. It corrects us. And today as we read it, let us read it with strength and courage, believing every word of it. Are you ready? So finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We're not done yet. You're like, oh, hold on. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. So stand, therefore, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition, there you go. Take up. Yes. Which is the word of God. On all occasions. Be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Lift your hands to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we receive every word that you have for us today. I pray that you would open our hearts, that you would open our minds to receive only what you have for us. Let everything else fall to the side. And we declare this in the name of Jesus. And the whole house said, amen. Come on. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on. Go ahead. Look, we're loud at Grace Point, and I like it that way. So look, Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 10, is what we call the armor of God. This is literally the armor of the Lord that God is using to prepare us. So this is what I want to share with you today. I want to give you a quick overview of these scriptures, and then we're going to focus on 3 points, just 3. But this is the rundown of the whole scripture. Are you ready? So fasten your seatbelts. So the first verse, actually in verse 10, it says, be strong. This word strong actually comes from the Greek word dunamo. You've heard my husband preach this before, and it's a word that means strength from the Holy Spirit. God is instructing us in verse 10 that we are to be strong, not within ourselves, but within the power of the Holy Spirit. He's saying, armor up, but not in your strength, but in his strength alone, because FYI, we are not enough. Can someone say amen? We are filled with flaws, and we are human, created to be human, and God is God and will always be God in the name of Jesus. That's right. So then he says, stand. Actually, in this scripture, verses 13 and 14, he uses the word stand 3 times. There's something about standing. When you're armoring up, you can't put on an armor sitting down. Have you tried to put on a belt? Anybody put on a belt recently sitting down? Right. Have you, like, you know, yeah, of course not. Of course, you get it. Of course not. So it's a little hard to put on a belt, but there's a whole lot more to this armor than just the belt. So then the next word says struggle. The word struggle, and you can show them, there you go. You can just keep it right there. The word struggle, it means that there's something happening. There's a struggle. There's some resistance. But you know, this struggle, the scripture says, is not against people. It's against principalities. It's a spiritual battle. You need to know this right now, that what you're battling is not you. It's not flesh. Go ahead and like, just do a little hand rub. Just like rub your hands together. You're like, this is flesh. What we're fighting has nothing to do with this and everything to do with what is in the spiritual realm. And that is what God is preparing us for. And then he says, armor up. Can you say armor up? You're going to hear it a lot. You're going to hear it a lot. That's my phrase, armor up, people, because we're going to armor up. We're going to get dressed and we're going to get prepared for what God has. So then he says, I want you to put on this belt. Look, I got one. I'm going to demonstrate in a minute, but this belt, and it's going to wrap around you, but this belt is more than just something to hold your pants up, people. This belt is way more than that. This belt is the belt of truth. What does Scripture say about Jesus? He's the way, the truth, and the life, right? So it's like putting on Jesus. It's just like wrapping him around your waist, just carrying him with you every single step of the way. And then he says, your shoes, you're going to put your shoes on. These are not just any shoes, y'all. Look, I know we love to sport our shoes, whatever brand you like. We like our shoes to be special, but these are the most special. It says these shoes are preparing us to battle as we walk in peace. He says, we're gonna cover. Do you know the Scripture refers to the Holy Spirit as your comforter, as your peace giver? It's like wrapping the Holy Spirit around your feet as you are ready to walk in battle. You're standing up. You got your Jesus around your waist. You got your shoes. The Holy Spirit just wrapping you up, and you're about to walk in battle. And you feel it. You're ready to walk into battle. You're like getting excited about it. You're like getting excited. Don't get excited about battle. It's not. No. We got to finish this up before you get too excited. So then it says, I want you to put on the helmet of salvation, and I want you to put on the breastplate of righteousness. This helmet of salvation, imagine this, a helmet will protect your mind, will protect your thoughts, will guard your mind from the battles. Anyone ever had a battle of your mind? Like you wait, how many of you woken up in the morning and like every thought is just bombarding you? What this person said yesterday about you, what happened yesterday at work and that a conflict happened, or maybe you saw something somewhere else and it hurt you, and somehow our mind is battling constantly. When we put that helmet on, it protects our mind, and then the breastplate of righteousness. It's not just a breastplate. This is a piece of metal that literally wrapped around and would fasten to the side and would stay fitted. And it would protect the heart. Now, it would protect other stuff, like the lungs and the liver. But the heart is the source of life for us. And it would protect our heart. So now that's the general rundown, right? You got it? So everybody say amen. I receive it. Okay, but now we're going to talk about three specific things about these scriptures. We're going to talk about the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, and we're going to talk about all the Lord's people, all the Lord's people. And so let's start with the sword of the Spirit. Let's read the scripture. Ephesians 6:17 says, the sword of the Spirit, and it says, which is the word of God. Now, I like to say it like this. It is the words of God. The word being one Bible, but every word we believe is God-breathed, is God-given, and these are the words of God. Ephesians 6 through 10 and through 18, it is giving us the words of God, helping us to be ready to prepare to engage in battle so that we know what to do. The words of God. Anybody, how many, you remember the day you got saved? Remember the day you gave your heart to Christ? FYI, if you haven't done that yet, today there is no better day, and you will never forget it. 2024 Mother's Day, you gave your heart to the Lord. Let today be a new beginning, a fresh beginning. But as new Christians, we don't have much word in us, do we? We don't have much word in us. But when we get saved, we're ready. We want to dig in deeper. We're not going to miss church. We're going to show up, right? We're going to be sitting on the front row. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, you remember when you were first saved and you just got so excited and you're like, man, I can't get enough. I got to find a Bible study. I got to look on Facebook and find these people that are going to tell me about Jesus. And I got to dig deeper. And Lord, help me to know. And we start reading in Genesis and we're like, oh man, what is this? You know? And so we always encourage people when they're new Christians to begin in the New Testament, because that's life. That's Jesus. Let's learn about Jesus. But do you remember that first scripture that you memorized? Anybody? What was that scripture, the first one that you memorized? You got to speak up. All right. I hear some 1 John 1:9. I hear some John 3:16. There are lots of them out there. I bet you can still quote that first scripture because it's here. Do you know what? I mean, we would begin to talk about the scripture that we would learn. We would begin to read about it. We would begin to memorize it. This is what scripture says in Psalm 119. It says, I've hidden your word in my heart. It doesn't mean that it's supposed to be hidden away. It means that I'm keeping it forever. It will be forever in here, and I'm never letting it go. Psalm 18 says, the Lord's word is flawless. Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's a whole nother sermon all of its own that is just going to lead you and guide you. But Isaiah 48 says the word of God endures forever. Can you say forever? Y'all, it's never changing and it's real, and it will become more and more real to us as we begin to dig deeper and study in his word. But this is the scripture I want us to look at today, and it's Hebrews 4 and 12. And it says, for the word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Y'all, the word of God is so powerful. And you're like, what does this really mean, Jody? Like, it divides soul and spirit, joints and marrow, the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So I want to demonstrate to you how this sword works. And I brought my sword this morning. Look, I'm going to put it on. Is that okay? All right, I'm going to put my sword on. I'm going to armor up. And I bought me a belt of truth, too, so I could wear my sword around my belt. So isn't this powerful that the belt of truth and then the word of God is attached to it? You're like, wow. Look, I practiced putting this on in front of the mirror so I could do it really fast. Like, it's magical. Okay, you just got to keep looping. That's the secret. Okay, oh, I just unlooped it. Okay, hold on. She needs to go home and practice some more. Okay. So hold on one more time. You can do this. We're going to loop it right in there. Got my belt of truth right here. Like, got my little flappy right there. I'm going to tuck it through. All right. So here we go. So I've got my belt of truth, and I've got my sword. It's real. I know. It's a machete. I know. But it's a sword today. Okay. I love saying that. Machete. Okay. So it's really cool. But this one is not two-edged. Okay, you see a two-edged sword cuts going in and cuts coming out. God's word is sharp. But this is what I want you to get about this scripture. So I'm going to get real for a minute. This might be a little painful because it's painful for me. So have you ever gotten your feelings hurt or ever been offended? How many were offended on the way to church this morning? How many of you looked at Facebook yesterday and you saw your friends all getting together and you're like, they left me out? Anybody know what I'm saying? Or men don't get offended like that. Men are like, dude, he got a new truck and he didn't even tell me, you know? I don't really know how men get offended, I'll be honest with you. So I'm just making that up. But here's the truth, that when we get offended, there's an emotion that comes with it. What kind of emotion comes with being offended? Yeah, anger. Man, I get mad. Y'all get mad? When you get offended, you get a little self-righteous. You get a little, you know, disappointed. We get frustrated. It's even sadness to a certain point. But I want you to know that what you do in that moment makes all the difference in the world. What you do in that moment. And so you have to recognize that that's the enemy fighting you when you feel those emotions. That's the enemy, and he's arming up. He's throwing a fiery dart at you. And when that happens, you have to be willing in that moment to say, God, what's really happening? What's really going on, and why am I feeling this way? And we can come up with lots of reasons, like I feel left out, or I feel like I'm having a little FOMO. And the truth is that there was a time in my life that there was someone that hurt me like very deeply. They were married to someone that I loved with all of my heart, and this person was in my life for 13 years, and this person never reciprocated love. to me and my family. They never acted like they cared about me. They never extended any gratitude or any grace. And all along the way, I tried my best to love this person, but it never came back. And I was offended. I was seriously, the longer this person was in my life, the greater the offense became. 13 years, the person that I loved passed away. And that moment, I thought, whew, thank God this person is out of my life. I guess you get it. There was another feeling coming in there besides anger and sadness, right? It was in that moment that I needed to ask the Lord. What you do in that moment is important. And in that moment, I heard the Lord speak to my heart. And God let me know. And when you ask him, he will let you know what you're feeling and what you're experiencing and what God has to work with. I was bitter. I was bitter. I can put on a face and I could be like, oh, yeah, it's wonderful. We had a great, you know, holiday. We were like this person is fine. And then you get me around the right person and I'd be like, oh no, she is the worst. You know, look, I'm just being real with you. And I'm sorry if I'm not sorry, because y'all need to know that we're real people. And this was a real moment in my walk with the Lord. And in that moment that I recognized, I was like, God, I realize this is bitterness. What do I do about it? And so this is where the word of God comes in. All right, you ask the Lord, what is happening? What do I need to do about this? I'm feeling jealous. I'm feeling angry. I'm feeling bitter. I'm feeling hurt. And then the Lord says, yeah, let's go. Let's take a look at my words, Jody, because I have a plan. This is what my plan is. And then the next scripture I want to look at. Now, this is where it's double-edged. This is where it's going to divide the attitudes of my heart and my thoughts. This is where the action takes place if we desire for it to. This is the power of the word, but only if we allow it to penetrate our heart and do the work. So this is what James says. But if you harbor bitterness or bitter envy and selfish ambition, no kidding, at the end of that 13 years, when I was like, whew, this person's going to be out of my life, I was not wishing them well. Now, I don't want to act like I was all that angry. I'd probably be being a little extra. But I wasn't wishing them well. I had bitterness and anger in my heart. But Scripture doesn't leave it with that. Scripture actually takes us to the next step. The Spirit, God wants to show us, but he also wants to grow us. And that's what Scripture does. So he's going to show us. He showed me it was bitterness. He's giving me his word to help me know what to do. But before he tells me what to do, he tells me what not to do. Right? Isn't that just like God? So then he says, so in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. For me, that might look like I'm right. And she was rude every day I was with her. I was right, and you know what? She didn't deserve my grace. It doesn't matter if we're right. What matters is that we're righteous. And when God does a work in us, here, look at 15. He says, and such wisdom, I love this quotation marks, wisdom. Guess what he's saying? This is not wisdom. This ain't wisdom right here. He says it doesn't come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual. This is the hard part. Demonic. Y'all, he's talking about gossip. He's talking about tearing down another person. And then he says, isn't this so beautiful? Get this. Not 16, that's not so beautiful, but it says, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and evil practice. But look at the next one. He's giving you a way out. He says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. Wisdom from the Lord is pure. And James chapter 1 also tells us, James, he had this thing about wisdom, and he said that if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask. Let him ask, and I will give it liberally. liberally. So are you seeing how the scripture can like wear, kind of like divide, like I had this attitude and I had this thought, but now the Spirit says, but this is what it really is, and this is how you deal with it. Does this make sense? Are you getting, you like the word is real and the word is alive and active and it's working in my heart? Anyone ever experienced anything like that before? I mean, I know I have. And it was in a moment in the altar. It was in a moment in the altar that I heard the Lord speak to me and say, Jody, I have more for you to do. I have more for you to do, and it's time to give it to me. It's time to let it go. And I will tell you, in that day that I released it to the Lord, I began praying for that person, and I felt the peace of God that passes all understanding begin to guide my heart and my mind. And when that happened, it was on a Mother's Day, just, y'all, about a month after that happened, it was a Mother's Day, and my husband, this is how real it was. When God changes you and his word changes you, you're never the same. And on a Mother's Day, my husband said, I want you to think of a mother right now who needs your prayers, and immediately, y'all, I can still see myself standing at the keyboard playing, and immediately, this person came to my mind, and immediately I began praying for them, and immediately I knew that I was healed. Immediately I knew, because it was out of love that I began to pray for that person. Y'all, the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing soul and spirit. And he can do that. He can do that work in your life, in your life. Amen. Someone say, sword of the spirit. I'm serious. All right, so let's move on. You're like, we lingered on that because it's super important. Right? Are you scared when I pull that out? I saw a few of you like, is she going to cut herself? I'm like, she's slow and methodical. All right, so she's got this. Don't worry. I feel powerful. So, all right, let's do the next one. So the next one is number two, the shield of faith. Ephesians 6, and so you see my shield? This is a massive shield, and we're going to talk about this. I'm excited. So take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Hebrews 11. Oh, hold on. So then scripture tells us, we're going to go to the next one. Two scriptures. The first one is Romans 10 and 7. Two things I want you to remember about faith. One, you have to know where faith comes from. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you need to know that faith comes from the word, right? We talked about this sword right here on our side, which is the word of God. But you can't have faith without this. They go together. You can't have one without, you can have it. And if one is weak, then the other is weak. What if you're going into battle, do you want someone with a little tiny baby sword? I don't think so. If you're going into battle, you want to have a big machete. You want to be ready. You want to be ready. And then you want to have a shield that is some serious faith kind of shield. You know what I mean? Like I've seen those gladiator movies where they have this little tiny, you know, it's so cute. It's just so cute little shield. And that's a new Christian shield. We have to start somewhere, right? And when we start somewhere, that's amazing, because God is growing us and building us. But what's really amazing is when the word of the Lord is filling your heart, when we begin, you know what faith is? Look at the second one. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. It comes from the word, but what the word does is help us to begin to believe things that we cannot see. And those things that we can't see, think about this. Literally, we believe in what we cannot see. Well, we believe that oxygen is in the air, don't we? Right? We're living. We're breathing it. It's real. But guess what? There's something even greater. We believe that God is real, and we cannot even see God. Can someone say amen? That's faith. His son, Jesus, gave his life, died on a cross on Calvary. That's historical. We know that Jesus died. A man named Jesus died on the cross. But the faith comes in when we believe that he's the Savior of my soul. That when we acknowledge him as our Savior, as our Lord and King, y'all, there is nothing in this world that can prove that. He loves us. He loves us so much. We cannot see his love, but it's real. Can someone say amen? Amen? That he is with us. His word says he will never forsake us. There is no logical way to believe this, but it takes faith to internalize this and to live. How about this? He is preparing a place for us. One day he's going to call us home and we're going to live in eternity with him in glory. Can someone shout hallelujah? This old stinking world is not my home, but one day I'm going and I'm going to walk the streets of gold with my Lord and Savior and he's going to welcome me home. Anybody ready? Anybody, are you anticipating that day? Because this world is not my home. Y'all, he's pursuing a relationship with us. None of these things are visible, but it takes faith. They're spiritual things. And then as our faith is built, then our shield grows. You see, as our word sharpens, our shield grows. But there's more than that. There's more than that. It's not, you got it, it saved itself. So our battle is spiritual, isn't it? Now, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. This is a spiritual battle right here. When we fight with what we cannot see, we fight with faith. You cannot see faith, but we fight with confidence. We fight for what we cannot see. Our Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That he saved us, he's done a work in us, in our lives, over and over and over again. We fight against what we cannot see. Y'all, our enemy is not the person beside us. It's not your coworker. It's not people. We often spend so much time fighting against people that we forget that the enemy is after us and targeting us every day. This is faith right here. Knowing that our steps, unseen, are ordered by the Lord. That is faith. That is faith. You have to build your faith with the word right here because, y'all, we want to have big shield kind of faith. We want to have big shield kind of faith. I want to finish with this. Take a look at this. So all God's people, number three, all God's people. Verse 18 actually ends with all God's people. That's the last line of the scripture, all God's people. But I want you to imagine this. So this is the sword of a Roman soldier. Paul has experience as he's teaching with being a Roman soldier. And the shield would often be like 4 feet tall, 3 feet wide. This is a formidable shield, and there's a reason for that. I want you to imagine on a hill, archers. You see, this shield had a purpose. It was heavy, y'all. It was heavy. It was powerful. But as the soldiers were lined on a hill ready to attack your little town, your home, your family, that army, your enemy, is armed with their arrow, their bow and arrow. Guess what? On the end of that arrow often would be napalm or some kind of incendiary. And when they would shoot those arrows, they had every intention of devastating homes, of murdering people, destroying lives, annihilating communities. That was the purpose. I want you to know that the scripture says, not will we resist one fiery dart, It says all fiery darts. But it doesn't happen with me by myself right here with one shield. What you don't know about me is I had 5 pregnancies and 2 kids. I don't have to say anything else. That's a story. I've experienced depression 3 times. The first 2 times, I lingered in it. I didn't know how to ask for help. The 3rd time, guess what I did? I want you to show them the picture up here. When you're in a battle, I'm not supposed to be by myself. When we're in a battle, this shield is mighty. This shield is mighty. And it would have these pieces on the side that literally would interlock. And it would mean, can you see this? Look at the power of this, that the shields are locked together with their sword in between. You see that on the upper right? Isn't that powerful? The shield, the sword interlocking between every shield. You've got the word of God and your faith going before you in the name of Jesus, but you cannot do it alone. We were not designed to do it alone. They would create formations and they would fight together with their shield, their faith working and connected. So I don't know if you're in the middle of a battle this morning. You're like, this is a weird Mother's Day message. I get it, but I don't think it's so strange because I often think that moms are fighting a battle in a home. Dads, you are too, and I'm not, but this day's not about you. We'll get to you next month, okay? But I believe that moms are fighting a battle. It's time to armor up, y'all. It's time to put on the helmet of salvation, accepting that Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, is the only one that can save us from this life of slavery to sin, this life of slavery, and that the first step is to accept Christ as your Savior, period. Can someone say amen? It's time to armor up. It's time to secure your breastplate of righteousness, God's righteousness, not mine, because mine is filthy. It's filthy. I'm flesh, and I have envy and strife and jealousy and hurt. But God's righteousness is perfect for me and protects my heart, protects me. It's time to armor up and wrap the truth around your waist, Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Say hallelujah. It's time to armor up your feet. They're not just shoes. It's the Holy Ghost, and you're walking in the Holy Ghost, and you're going to pray in the Spirit at all times. And that's what the scripture says in verse 18. It says you're going to pray in the Spirit at all times, not just pray, but pray in the Spirit. Your shield is going before you. You are locked together, one to another. The lies and the deceit and the obstacles and the trickery of the enemy are not welcome because we're fighting for one another. Can you say hallelujah? I mean, that's powerful. It's time to armor up. It's time to armor up and to bind together as brother and sister. Armor up and pray. I mean, really pray. Verse 18, it says, and to keep on praying for all God's people. Y'all, it's time to forget about praying about ourselves. Believe me, you're going to get more out of praying for your brother and your sister than you ever will praying for yourself. It's time to start lifting them up and calling out in prayer in the name of Jesus. It's time to armor up and not just pray, but pray in the Spirit. It's time to armor up and not just pray in the Spirit, but pray in the Spirit always. It's time to armor up. Do you believe that this morning? Do you feel the urgency? There is a battle. There is a battle going on, and you have been called to be a mighty warrior. You've been called to be a mighty warrior and to not fight this battle alone. Today could be a new start for you. And I'm going to throw off those things that so easily entangle me. And I'm going to set on a path that is ordered by the Lord. That I'm not going to fight alone. I'm going to fight with my people. Stand with me. We're going to close in prayer. And this is how I want to do it. I know that it's time. It's 10:36. And I really would love for you to find a group of people right there. You don't have to know them. You don't even have to ask them their name. Just know that you're my brother and you're my sister. That's what we are in this room. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we don't know each other, and we're never going to remember your name. I asked someone their name last week, and they're like, we've already met 25 times. I'm like, so I'm so sorry if I've done that to you, and I love you, and I'm so glad you're here. But I want you to gather up with I don't care how big your group is. It doesn't matter to me. Group up, circle up, armor up. You're going to get your friends. Do it right now. Just do it right now. We're going to finish and you're going to be released. We're going to pray. And nobody told you to talk. Just like, no. Praise the Lord. If you don't have a person, step into a group. This is a room of faith that everyone wants you on their team. We are one team. Praise the Lord. Now, this is what I want you to do. One word. I want you to look at the person beside you and say one word prayer. It could be courage. It could be salvation. It could be financial. It could be whatever. One word. Share one word need to that person beside you. One word. One word need. Okay. You don't have to hold hands, y'all. It's okay. I just let go of hands. I didn't even say that. Y'all are so funny holding hands. We got to hold hands. That's weird, holding hands with people you don't know. Okay, are you ready? So we're going to pray, and I want you to pray. I want you to pray. I want you to have courage and pray out loud for that person that just shared their need. And you may say, they just said courage. Well, then pray for courage. God, I don't know what they need courage for, but I pray for my sister. God, if they need healing, are you ready to pray? Let's pray together in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you. We thank you for every person in this room. God, I pray that we would be stirred, Lord, to pray for one another, to fight for one another, to be strong for one another. God, we need each other. Yes, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. All right. I want you to know that what you did is you just armored up for someone else. You armored up for someone else. Praise the Lord. Amen. Man, God is amazing. You guys, I just thank you so, so much for being here today. And we're going to pray a closing prayer, but there's a gift. We have a gift for the mothers as you walk out the door. And I'm just thankful that you're here. Lift your hand to the Lord. God, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for what you've done for your children. I pray that you would armor, that we would armor up as we leave this place today, and that these people would have a wonderful Mother's Day. Honor them in every way. And in your name we pray. Everybody shouted, amen. I love y'all. God bless y'all.